So I would love to start with this film is taking you guys a long time. You've had this idea with you for, you know, 8-9 years now, really.
Yes. Yeah, it was a long time. Yeah, a long journey.
How long did the actual animation start for you guys? Because I'm guessing those first few years was more about getting funding and getting kind of the idea fleshed out. But when did the actual animation build start?
Well, the animation, the production itself took three years. Once we got started, for real, like in from pre-production to the end, it was 3 years.
And was it originally, because there's so much beautiful oil paintings in it, was the concept to make oil painting really the main form of animation or digital animation?
Well, you mean the technical side of it, how we made it, or in terms of idea, was it an idea that we had from the start?
Well, I guess on the technical side, because I think it comes out beautifully, yeah.
The technical side is, we had for like 5 minutes the idea of doing it all in oil paint, but then we realized that it was not going to work because of budget and how long it would take and everything. So we had to come up with some strategies to make it look like oil paint, because we were really going after the reference of expressionism, especially oil paint and expressionism. So what we did is that we did the backgrounds in Photoshop. We chose some specific brushes that would emulate the look and feel of oil paint. And we also created a library by ourselves. Like we did like a lot of actual oil paint strokes. And then we photographed that and we created our own library that we imported into Photoshop so that we could use that for the backgrounds too. And we also knew that that compositing was going to play a big part in the project to achieve the kind of aesthetics that we were aiming at. So we planned everything from the start. Already during development, we were planning it so that we could add an extra layer of oil paint. So whatever you see in terms of special effects, like smoke, water, lights, cars driving by and everything, those are actual oil paint. It's oil paint frame by frame painted on glass that we did in compositing. And also in compositing, we added some layers of oil paint to make it look like people watch it and say, is it real oil paint? And it's real oil paint, but, you know, it's a mix of digital and oil paint. Yeah.
Well, it does look seamless. I mean, I thought there were whole sequences that were oil painted on, so it looks seamless when we see it on the screen.
It means that we achieved what we were trying to do.
As far as the story itself about the kids' stories, what reference points were you guys going for? What I read an article that Goonies was a big influence as far as like kids coming together and battling, in this case, fear, you know?
Yeah. We really wanted to make like a fun to watch adventure. So we wanted to use those beautiful visuals together with a very fun and engaging story, because the idea was from the start to talk about this whole culture of fear to kids. So we made sure we did most of our work was to get it like so that kids would have fun watching it. And in the background, you have like all these issues that are like that have a real connection to our society, and that talk about stuff that is going on in the world. So the fear disease is really about our society nowadays. Yeah,
I know you're based in Sao Paulo compared to Rio. How much did Sao Paulo influence the film, the look, with everything being based on that side of Brazil compared to, you know, a different part of Brazil? How much is Sao Paulo in this film?
Well, I mean, I'm from Sao Paulo, so there's quite a bit of Sao Paulo there. We try to, you see, it's a, like a big metropolis, and but it's not necessarily Sao Paulo. There are pieces of like the film that do resemble Sao Paulo, but we wanted to make it as universal as possible. in a way that everyone around the world, all kids, could connect. Like, it's really a metropolis and could be a metropolis anywhere. But I think the biggest influence, so to say, of São Paulo in the story is that growing up in São Paulo, you can really feel the fear disease, right? So it's something that I've seen it since I was a kid, how fear can play this important role in our lives, especially like imagined fears that sometimes are greater than the actual facts that face the actual fears. So I could see, like, since a very, like, early age that people would get contaminated with fear. Oh, my neighbor is putting up, like, some barbed wire to protect themselves against thieves or something like this. So I should do the same. So it's really contagious. So in this way, I think São Paulo was the big influence. Because some people ask me, oh, how did you know? Because with everything that is happening, like Bolsonaro in Brazil and shots. Of course, I did not know. they also ask, oh, how much did you change the story to adapt to current circumstances? And we didn't change it much. I mean, the story evolved a lot during the years of production. But it evolved in terms of really storyline and everything. But the actual plot, the fear disease, people having to fight, the Aloe Sosa, the machine, that was all there from the start. So, yeah. It was, I think, some kind of zeitgeist that we managed to tap into, kind of thing.
Well, then I hope the releasing of your film is the answer to it, because I think we need...
I hope so. I sincerely hope to. Well, it's not the answer, but I think, the most important thing for me is to create an opportunity for adults to talk to kids about what is going on, because kids do understand that there is this scary stuff going on. And sometimes we adults don't really find a way to talk to kids. So I hope that the film can do that. And also another great feedback that I get from kids who have watched. We haven't released the film commercially yet, so it's only festivals and all, but I had the opportunity of talking to kids and all. And also some of them, like kids or friends or people I know, and they start to recognize Aloe Sosa in real life in many different circumstances, and that's something I love, you know, because it means that they do get the logic behind it. So, yeah. Hopefully, it's a start.
You know, I love Tito's character, but I really love the character of Sarah.
She's my favorite.
where did she come from?
What, the idea of the character?
Yeah.
I mean, we knew about the fear disease. We wanted kids, as you mentioned yourself, like Goonies was a big fashion, so we wanted a bunch of kids coming together. And then we created the character of Tito, then we created Buyu, his friend who is even shyer than him. We really wanted Tito to be like the average kid. He's not special in any way. You know, he's just like perceptive about stuff that is going on. He sees the his father's research has something to do with it. He doesn't really know what it is. So he has to work and come together with his friends. So, like, the development of the characters was really about, like, first Tito, and then Buyu, who is even shyer. And then we further developed Buyu into, like, the hacker guy. So he was, Jean and Tito, they have to work together. And then we wanted, like, a kick-ass female character. So that's how Sarah came about. She's like outspoken and she's really like sassy kind of, yeah. I really she's my favorite character, and she's the one who pushes Tito, like, oh, come meet Tito, and let's go there, let's go over here, come Tito, turn on the machine. So she's like very energetic. So yeah, and then we created like the contradictions in the characters. We wanted to bring a little bit of that. Of course, there's Brazil there, but there's also all the world, because I mean, you know, Buyu is from a completely different social class. He's like the son of an ex-nanny. And then Sarah, she's black, and Tio is super rich, and Tito's more like middle class. So we wanted to build all these different layers so that we have stuff that kids can relate to, and kids can get different lessons or different understandings of what we are talking about.
Yeah, that was my next question, was the racial difference between them, and I love that they all have to come together to achieve it.
Of course, they have to. Even the enemy, the Tio is like the bully kind of thing. So even the bully has to come on board, and at a certain point, he's really on board. It's something that we really wanted to do.
What did it mean for you guys when Shout Studios came to you about distribution in the North American side of things? That obviously is a different, you guys were out at TIFF, but what does it mean to know that you guys are going to have a strong American and North American push?
Oh, it is pretty amazing, right? I mean, I've been a producer for longer than I've been a director. So there is a side to choosing to do an animation, because it's my first animated feature, right? I did live action and documentary before that. And being an independent producer from a country down south over there, you know, it's very difficult to get abroad. Like, I mean, you go to festivals, but actual distribution is really tough because you don't have the stars, it's a different language. So animation was also, from the point of view, of course, I chose animation because it was a film for kids, and the story was perfect for animation, also to communicate with kids. But from a production point of view, it's also like, can we get a little further? And having them on board, having Shout on board, it's just amazing. And also, it's quite interesting. The reception in North America has been so strong because, I mean, in Europe, it is very good too. I mean, especially because of the artistic side and how we got to like this, all these different, this mixture of techniques that is intriguing to many animators, which is just like a lot of simple decisions put together, but we managed to achieve something that is somehow, I think, unique. But I think the connection to North American audience is great because the plot and the story is really quite traditional. It's a traditional adventure. So I think it's quite engaging for North American audiences.
Were there any animated films that inspired the look or caused you guys to go with the route that you went?
Everything is an influence, but there wasn't just like a very specific reference, just like Goonies was for us in terms of story, because we really knew that we had to come up with a very unique film in order to break through, and also in order to tell a story that is somehow difficult to tell to kids, because it's a film about fear for kids, so we had to be like careful enough not to make it too, how to say it, scary, so that kids would walk out of the movie theater, because then it would have been very effective. But I think it's quite, we don't have a speed in terms of aesthetics. I mean, Miyazaki is an influence for everybody, right? So, but so is Pixar. But we are doing something quite different, I think. We do have, we decided to do it in cutout, which is a technique that is mostly used for TV. Also because of budget and everything, but it's a mixture of cutout and full animation, because in many scenes there's lots of drawings depending on the scene if the film needed it. But in terms of like aesthetic reference, I don't think we had a specific reference in mind. No, we were looking for something new.
You know, you brought up that you didn't want it to be too scary, but I found that the music in it was not scary, but it had a little bit of darkness to it. I love the sequence when Bio is out trying to get home, and everyone's chasing anyone that looks like him, because he looks like he's part of the disease, and that musical pacing that you have with it is so well done. Can you talk about the music of the film?
You are absolutely right. As I was saying, we had a few strategies to bring fear into the film without making it so scary, as I was saying, because we needed it to be not scary so that the children, the young audiences would feel what we were talking about. So one strategy was really like the looks, the backgrounds, the expressionism, so it's intense and dense. So that's a way to make, like, to bring fear into the movie. And the other strategy was the music. The whole soundtrack is completely dense and intense and scary on purpose. And it's the same guys who did the soundtrack for Boy in the World.
Mm.
I love their work there, and I went to them and I said, I love your work. It's going to be completely different from what you've done before, but it's going to be great. And we knew that the music was going to be so important for the project that we started the music before we had the script.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So we never, ever developed anything from the film without its own sonority. So from the start, we had its own sonority. It was a very funny conversation with the musicians and with the composers, because they were basically saying, okay, but how do we do that? And I said, we sit down and talk. So I started to explain the universe of the film, what it was about, the whole fear Disney thing. So then they created a theme. And then we started using that theme in the animatic. And then in the animatic, we would feel that we would need another theme. And then from then on, we continued to develop the music, and it was just, I think, the right decision, because the music really helped develop the movie, because we felt, okay, we need something new here. Then we would bring something new, and it would create a great atmosphere for us to develop the scene and to review the scene with the music. Yeah, that's how we did it.
What made you decide on pigeons being the important birds?
Yeah, I mean, pigeons have always been with us. Since we live in cities, so have they. They have been, I see them as these great observers of our humanity, and also as a kind of a memory, as the film shows, of stuff that we've chosen to forget. So, and of course, it's a very powerful symbol, right? Because the pigeons are like the symbol of peace in Christianity. They are like the one of the earliest means of long distance communication through carrier pigeons. They are also like they have been heroes because they have saved battalions in wars. And at the same time, if you're a parent and your kid is going to touch a pigeon, you go like, oh, don't touch them, it's disease, dirty. So it's like this kind of dirty side of society that is also a memory, and that is also connected to all the symbolism, because you have also that all that stuff that we tell in the beginning of the film, like how birds have saved humankind. That's a mixture of mythology with a new mythology that we invented, but the bird singing has always been related to the language of the gods in mythology, from Nordic to Native American. So it's really a powerful symbol that I think could summarize all that stuff that is there, and it's also related to like the contradiction between culture and the civilization and nature kind of thing. And I think also there is a triangulation with another important character in the film that has a small part but is quite important, which is the beggar, the lady beggar. She's the kind of oracle of the film, and she lives with pigeons and somehow connects with this other side that we decide not to see or choose not to remember. So that's more or less how they came out. And there is also, going back to the Goonies reference, if it's a fun adventure for kids, you gotta fly, right? You gotta fly at a certain point. So yeah, that's also something. Yeah, and we use that quite a lot because we have many shots that are like taken from the sky, and the camera spins just like a bird flying. Yeah.
Well, I hope Freedom and Rejected becomes a saying and people get to follow it. I love the beggar character. You brought up the visual look of the film with, you know, bird shots. I was amazed at how much airtime we do get and how much perspective we do see from birds, especially I love the ending when we get to see the array of different birds coming back into the city. How much fun was it to mess around with the point of view, because you did have the element of birds, but also you had the dome and the doom of the dome and how it affected things? How much fun did you have in that?
You mean the dome garden, the condo, the Lotus Beauty?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we knew that it's going, I mean, a lot of the 20, we have like some of the most powerful scenes are the scenes that we shoot from the sky, and the camera spins a lot. And then there was quite a bit of planning in those scenes, because we had to go back and forth from the compositing, and then we would plan the movement, the camera movement, lock the camera movement, go back to the art department, and then draw all the backgrounds based on the camera movement, then we'll go back to the compositing, and it wouldn't work very well because, like, either was spinning too much or too little, and then there was a little bit of back and forth. So it was one of the big challenges in terms of from the technical side, but it's really fun, right? Because also coming from live action, I mean, to have that kind of freedom, you know, you can just fly anywhere, you can go wherever and spin the city, and it looks beautiful. It's really, really amazing. Like from the action point of view, it's really cool. Because you can imagine doing that in live action. I mean, it would be possible. not for the kind of budget that I can access.
Well, Gustavo, I was really amazed by the film. I love the colors. I love the whole bird aspect. As my final question, I would love to know, outside of pigeons, what are your favorite bird you love?
Birds I love? Nobody asked me that before. I don't know. I really like pigeons. I like pigeons because they create all sorts of contradictions in me. Because of that thing that I was saying, like, I always sympathize with pigeons because they're the same rejected, right? But since I had kids, I'm like, don't touch them. And that creates this kind of, like, I don't know, paradox in my head. But I love, I don't know, I like birds in general. I don't know, what bird do I get? I don't know how to call it in English. It's a periquito. It's a green bird that sings very loud. It's kind of like a mini parrot, and there are loads of those in São Paulo, and they are like a contradiction to the city, because they're like beautiful and colorful, and people hate them because they sing very early in the morning, and they wake everybody up, and they're like, oh, fuck the birds.
Well, Gustavo, I thank you so much for the interview. I can't wait to see the film come out, and I'm so excited that you guys are part of the 25 potential Oscar contenders. I hope you guys get in.
Really exciting, isn't it? Yeah, you cannot tell how exciting it is. We have the qualifying run on December 7th. It's going to open in LA for the qualifying round for the Oscars. And the release, the actual release, is going to be in early 2019. We are just like deciding the dates. In a couple of weeks, I think we will know the exact dates here in the U.S.
Well, good luck. I hope it works. And yeah, thank you for making the film. It was wonderful.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.